With stations all over the U.S., North America, Puerto Rico, Guam, satellite, we're Coast to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis here. You can find me at ConnieWillis.com. My show is called Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis, and it has shows like Far Out Thursday, Bigfoot Friday, and Project Creepy Hots, taking you live virtually to creepy active hotspots of Bigfoot, Dogman, strange lights, and hauntings. And you get to actually investigate with me. It's fun. It's the real deal. It's not 101. It's not a podcast. It is deep into it. And we search for all the similarities across the board. So I hope that you'd like to join. And right now, doing something special for you for, hey, this is a rare thing. It's 50% off right now forever for those of you that sign up the very first 100 people. So all you have to do is go to ConnieWillis.com. You'll see it right there. You'll see it in red. I think it's in red. It's like, hey, sign up here. Or maybe it's in green. You'll see it. It says click here for half off. And you'll get that for life as long as you stay with me. Excuse me there. So yeah, there you go. First 100 of you. So get on over there, ConnieWillis.com. So fun. Thank you so much. Thank you all for sending so much email. Thank you so much. I can't read it all. I try to get to you. I do my best. So again, I appreciate it so much, and so many good, well thoughts and well wishes. That is so nice. And your ideas and thoughts, and plus asking me to do different conferences and speaking and audiobooks. That is so cool. Thanks when you guys asked me for that. That is so cool. I'm looking forward to doing more of that in 2022. So I really appreciate that you guys, recognize me in a way to want to do that. Thank you so much. All right, our next guest talking about going into 2022 and you know, really looking at it in different perspectives and preparing for you to go into 22 with your eyes wide open and different things maybe in your mind that you maybe haven't thought about before and really taking it on in a whole new way. That's kind of the hopes of tonight's show. And one of those ways I was like, okay, you know, I always want to do something to where it's kind of, we learn something that maybe we don't learn somewhere else, but then we also got to, you know, do that classic thing of Sasquatch or alien or whatever it might be, right? That it's not supposed to exist, but we know it does. So it was like, okay, maybe something that people don't know in the Sasquatch world that people just don't think about. They haven't dealt with maybe the respect of a Sasquatch. And it's like, okay, well, you know, everybody can always say, yeah, well, respect them and don't leave trash and don't do this and don't do that. But no, we're going a little deeper this time. It's New Year's Day, but this is a deeper respect and account that you're going to hear tonight that hopefully you can take into the new year. And also, especially those of you that are doing the Bigfooting and searching for Sasquatch, but I think you can take it even in your own life as well, even if you're not doing that type of thing. You know what, you guys, I've got computer after computer after computer in the studio, and I'm turning down every device in here. I don't know why I'm still hearing the noises. Everything's quiet on this side, but I'm hearing it. So I apologize if it's coming from me, or maybe it's the phantom computer out there. Mel Scahan, he has been interested. This is our next guest. He's been interested in the forest people since a child, growing up on the Yakima Reservation. He has been searching Bigfoot for almost 30 years, and he looks 28, so it's absolutely amazing how that can be. He's also a friend, as you can tell by the way I'm talking, and a fellow researcher that I absolutely respect. He's an enrolled member of the Yakima Nation. That's in Central Washington, the Yakima Reservation. It's unique with its boundary, including the Mount Adams and the Goat Rocks Wilderness, and he's had an opportunity to explore these areas for work and hunting, and I mean, really be out there and involved. He's been employed in the forest industry all his life and in the perfect condition to have all types of interaction with the forest people. You can't do any better than this. And in fact, this is why people chase after Mel. To me, I think he's just a wonderful man, a wonderful husband, a wonderful father, a wonderful just person in general. And it's like, who doesn't like Mel? But I like his techniques, his methods, and his morals and his values. But also, come on, man, he's been on the reservation and getting to Yakima Reservation and really getting in depth into having a deeper relationship with the forest friends, I believe, and the forest people, as he calls them. So he's going to share different types of interactions with them. And so let's, Mel, let's bring him on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome, Mel Skahan. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Connie. Wow, thank you for that introduction. You just took my whole 15 minutes of our show so far.
Hey, I was talking about you, so.
Yeah.
It's all good.
How are you tonight?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there and, starting that new year of 2022. And you have a great, great story to help us get into that, or account. I got to stay away from story because it's not a story. It's an account for sure. But before we even get to that, and we'll probably talk about that just a little bit later, I want to know more about you. Tell people about you and how you're different than the other researchers out there.
Well, a lot of people, going through this, as I started learning about the outside stories of the outside boundaries of the Yakima Reservation, wanted to hear more about Native American portions of Sasquatch. They wanted to hear the stories, the legends. Are we having the same type of interactions? What are our history with them? And So I shared that with, everybody that I have come across. And so me, being an enrolled member of the Yakima Nation has been a positive thing because, I get to share our legends and our history and our culture. And, what's unique about our reservation is that, not only do we have interactions with Bigfoot, but we also are famous for UFO encounters, UFO sightings in the around Mount Adams, around the Go Rocks. I mean, there are people that congregate, by the hundreds, to the southwest side of Mount Adams, just because we're outside the a lot of the city lights and everything, and get a lot clearer view, and we don't have too many obstructions out here, so you have a wider view of the space above you. And I've got not only Bigfoot stories from the last 26 years that I've worked for the Yakima Nation Forestry Program, but also UFO encounters while out fighting fires on the reservation, or camping, or climbing Mount Adams. I've done just about everything that I've could on this reservation, and UFOs is part of it, and paranormal, and green light orbs. We've got a lot here that goes on, and once I start telling these encounters, these stories, events that I've had, and people have always wanted to come onto the reservation. And the Yakima Reservation itself is certain portions, like the lower Yakima Valley, is open to the public, the agriculture lands mainly. And but once you get higher in the elevation, that's what we call the closed area. And I've been asked numerous times by a lot of people, can you get me within the closed area to get to your fire lookouts that have been written up as areas or hotspots to view the UFO events, or to be part of a Bigfoot encounter? So, unfortunately, I have to turn a lot. I have to turn 100% of them around, because it's we try to.
Well, you're taking me there next month, aren't you? I'm just kidding.
Well, you will be getting close, yes. And so, you know, acquiring a permit is something that, you know, I have done in the past and have been turned down. But, you know, for the special event that you may be coming to in April, you know, I'm pretty sure that we could, you know, get you further up in the elevations in the closed area.
Is this around where James Gilliland is? Is this the Yosemite? Or is that the other mountain?
No. That is the Mount Adams area.
Okay. And, okay.
So yeah, and so a lot of people go into the Trout Lake into the Glenwood area for the clearer views of Mount Adams for the UFO watching that they like to do in the latter spring and early summer.
Yeah,
and then going into the fall.
Yeah, I've seen that before from there. Yeah, Mount Adams has got. It's got some crazy stuff going on that mountain and under that mountain and in that mountain.
Yes, it's a unique magnet of that type of event. But you also, you don't hear too much about from the Goat Rocks. And I've seen them. I've seen the orbs and the from the southern edges of right there in the Goat Rocks as we would camp back there and for work or for hunting. And so, I mean, I've, you know, throughout my career with the forestry program, I've got to see every square inch of the closed area, Mount Adams, Goat Rocks, the whole wilderness area. I mean, we would hike in for miles, and if we needed to camp out, then we would camp out there. And so I consider myself lucky to be able to say that I've seen just about every square inch of the closed area. And I mean, like I said, if I hadn't said before, it's, you know, 1.2 million acres and 3/4 of that is forested. And then, so, you know, we have a big area that we have to, you know, take care of and then get it ready to pass on to the next generations. And so I put my stamp in my era there, and
what a privilege.
The next ones that are coming in will be able to do the same.
I hope so too. Yeah, that's quite a privilege. And you know, when I at first met you, I didn't, you know, realize all that kind of thing or know all that kind of stuff. And then just getting to know you and doing things with you along the way, it's like, oh my goodness, that's really special. Where, you know, I just really had been I could tell things from you about being genuine, and you know, you got to weed out your people along the way, and you got to find your other people just like you out there. And you know, I just had felt a connection, but didn't know how special that connection was with where you can go and what you can do and how different yours was, and being out there in areas nobody else can go in, and even by yourself. You told me so many times that you would be out there by yourself. I'm thinking you should always have somebody, right? Or if even somebody was with you, but all the interactions and communications you had along the way just really took you onto another level. And yeah, everybody wants to meet up with you and go to those areas. You know, I've learned that as well. The TV show, everybody's chasing you down, you and good old Bob Gimlin or little buddies as well. And, but I just, you know, I love the honesty and the, just you're being genuine that makes the difference. And so in knowing that as well, and then hearing the stories or the accounts that you have had, it just makes all the difference in the world, because everybody has different experiences. And again, where you, that area, oh my goodness, I've heard so many stories, even leprechauns out there. I've heard about leprechauns. So I appreciate you being here and sharing your story. And I love that you're so sensitive too. You know, you've been on my show many times too, and everybody has fallen in love with you. So, you know, I just want to say thanks for being here and telling us what's going to be a very special story. And the fact that it's like you have been kind of chosen to be in special areas. Do you kind of feel that way at all?
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, when things first started happening to me, you know, I heard the stories from my elders, and but that's just all they were. I mean, there wasn't detailed tracks, measurements, you know, all that data, time of day, direction of travel, was the mail, was the color, you know, all that is left out. And that's what started in getting more involved in this and taking it to my next level, was going outside the reservation, because a lot of, you know, and I'm sure you've heard this from other enrolled members from other tribes, is that the Native community doesn't talk very much about it, because depending on who you talk to, it could be someone sending you a message, or in a positive way, or and most of the time people see it as in a negative way, and so that's why it's not really talked about, because I don't know, I can't use the word taboo or anything like that, but it's just sensitive to the Native community. Because we've lived with them, you know, generations, and so that respect that we have to continue to share with them is learned over time. Just like, you know, your parents teaching you life's lessons, and then you take those life lessons of right and wrong into you, and then, you know, generation after generation of your teachings goes on from there. And so that's what my elders have done for me through the generations, is being able to share with me, to carry that on. And I think, you know, the special contact that I've had,
that we're going to hear more about coming up, that's Mel Scahan. Stay with us. Different types of interactions with them. Sounds the spiritual connection. I think you're going to enjoy the account he's going to tell you, and take it into 2022 yourself. Connie Willis here. Stay with us, Coast to Coast AM. Happy New Year. Another interesting show and night here on Coast to Coast AM, the real theater of the mind. Happy New Year. Happy 2022. Connie Willis here. Please join me on my site at conniewillis.com. Live investigations, creepy hotspots, Bigfoot, UFOs, strange lights, dogman, hauntings, Bigfoot Friday, Far Out Thursday, a community where you are a blue rocker. And all you got to do now, by the way, it's paid membership. Go over to conniewillis.com, and the 100 avails right now for the first 100 people, get half off forever. Half off that price forever. So you'll be a part of that. It's not a podcast. It's not just interviews or anything like that. It is live video out there doing it. You're also virtually investigating too. You're a part of it. And we are there to learn. So if you ever meet a blue rocker, ask them, excuse me, what they think. And I think they'll go, hey, man, it's awesome. So go to conniewillis.com, and the first 100 people are going to get 50% off forever. That's pretty cool. There you go. Can't beat it. All right. So get over there. Don't waste your time. All right. Mel Scahan, a fellow Bigfoot researcher, genuine, different than most, being on the Yakima potato, potato. Mel, tell me about that with the reservation. Yakima.
Yeah, it's Yakima. It's you know, it's the old spelling was Y-A-K-A-M-A, and then it was changed to Y-A-K-I-M-A, like the city of Yakima, but we reverted back to the spelling of just like in the treaty of Y-A-K-A-M-A.
So Yakima.
Yakima.
Okay. Oh, it's even Yakima. Oh, I love it. I love the teachings that I get from you. So, okay. So Mel, just more of a background. You worked in the forestry there on the reservation. That is quite a rare thing where most people don't ever get to do anything like that. And that's a big deal in the forest people world. Would you say that's correct?
Yes. Yes. I spent 26 years with the Yakima Nation Forestry Program, but I spent 8 years prior to that with the Forest Service on the west side of Mount Adams and the Gifford-Pinchot National Forest.
Wow.
So, you know, you're looking 32 to 34 years of working in the forest. that I've had.
With Mount Adams, and that is just, man, those mountains and Shasta, just so much activity. When people go, they just describe it as magical, as mystical, as I've just heard so many accounts of so many different strange things that are not supposed to be. So let's go into the forest people, as you call them, and what makes, let's go into more of a description and what makes them unique to you and what you've discovered along the way.
The reason that we call them forest people is because our description of them is two arms, two legs, a torso just like ours, and they move just like us. Back before this land was settled, we all moved around together and lived together and warred with one another. I mean, nobody ever got along 100% with each other at all times, but, we all had our differences. And one of the stories that I was told when I was younger was that all through, we lived with the forest people. We traveled, we traded, we hunted, we all gathered in the same places. Which you see to this day on the Yakima Reservation, a lot of the stories that I have collected as of them showing movement, not only through the seasons, but with the foods and with the traditional medicines and roots and berries and everything that we still gather today as Yakima people, they still do on their thriving. In the forested area or in the agriculture land too, because not only do they live in the forest, which makes the Yakima Reservation unique, is that collected stories from the slopes of Mount Adams, the slopes of the Goat Rocks to the Klickitat River, the Yakima River, down into the agriculture lands of the lower Yakima Valley. And but as the population grew, they kind of limited their movement and everything like that, but they still move all over. And so that's what I've learned about them over my years, is that don't just count these people living and living in the woods. They come down during the harvest season or whenever the lower Yakima Valley, we grow fruit, we grow vegetables, grains, hops. I mean, they have a plethora of food that they can come down and gather for themselves whatever is needed. I mean, I've had stories from apple pickers in the fall time that have seen tracks coming down into the orchards. I've collected stories from even the golf course people, that the maintenance people have seen them coming down out of the hills and down into the lower Yakima Valley. So that's what makes the Yakima Reservation unique. What I have learned about them over the years. And once you collect over 1,000 stories like I have, you begin to put all this data together of movement, of color, of male, female, family units, males hanging out with each other. I mean, just, it's been a great life that I've shared with them. And a great life that I've learned from my elders as well.
Yeah. Did you, one of the things that I always wonder, I can only go back so far into the forest that I may choose to be in at the time before having to turn back, or you can only get so far with a vehicle. Okay, so you can keep walking and camping, and you said you guys would just get deeper and deeper and then camp, and then maybe even go deeper and deeper and camp, do what you got to do, because that's your work. It's not like me. Oh, okay, I've only got 3 days or something like that, whatever. You could keep going and going. So I always thought the deeper you could go in, and not that it mattered, because they're right there. I mean, they're in woods and forests right off the side of a road or right next to grocery stores and stuff where you can find them and communicate with them. But the deeper and deeper and deeper you can go in the forest, and especially in the areas you've been in, I always thought you might learn more, maybe see more structures, and maybe even see more of a living situation. Did you find that to be true or no or not?
Yes. Sometimes, you know, these nests, beds, or structures will be located, you know, within a couple miles of a home. And depending on the group or the event that is going on at that time, if they're living in the area, you'll find beds. And what I mean by a bed is that they'll pull the branches off of trees, and then they'll lay those down and they'll pile them up. And what's unique about them too is that over the years, when we've come across them, is that they turn the branches to the bottom side up. And as a forestry person, what I'm you know, I understand that, but to a regular person, I'll explain this a little bit better. So when they pull the branches off, you know, there's a line of stomata located on the bottom side of these branches, and they're the little white lines. And what we've noticed in every one of them is that they've taken these branches and they've turned them over so that the bottom sides are always up. And why? I couldn't tell you why, but that's what we've noticed. It may be more comfortable for them. And depending on the size of the individual, you'll see that in the bed or the lying area that they've created. I mean, some come across that are 10 feet long, some come across that are, you know, 2 feet long. So it just depends on, you know, the individuals themselves. And some that we found so fresh that you could see the indentations of a human figure lying in those beds. We've noticed that they sleep facing each other, and then this is known by the way the bodies are, you know, situated in these beds. And usually the little guys, the little ones, are usually down at the feet area here on the Yakima Reservation that we come across. So that is a bedding area. And one way that we've noticed by looking at the branches that are on the ground or in nests or in the structures that are built is that these, you know, people say that they have superhuman strength, but I don't call it superhuman strength. They don't have tools. They don't have cars, you know. They live and they thrive out there, and so everything is done by hand. Their travel is done by legs, so that makes them unique in speed and in endurance and muscle, leg structure, and, you know, arm and body. I mean, you'll see ones that are athletic, you'll see ones that are older that are heavier than the other ones, but all of them share the same thing: is that they all travel together. And it doesn't make them superhuman. It makes them developed for their environment. And so getting back to the branches is that they'll take these branches and, you know, we can't tear or rip out a branch on our own that is perhaps an inch in diameter. But they can. And what they do is that they pop them out. And I mean, to the point where you could see a little point of the branch that was into the tree, and then they popped it out. You see the point where when we rip things off, we usually have to cut it and then tear it off. And then we live like a little tail because we're shorter, and then we rip down. And then you get that tail from the bark. So when you find beds, nests, structures, look for that unique standout right there, that point of where that divot has been made in that tree where these branches have been pulled out. And in the nest building, they weave. And that is something that is very unique to find, because when you find them, you know, they could be at any height, depending on the terrain of the ground, the slope of the ground. Some of them will be a foot tall. Others will be 3 feet tall, depending on the slope of the ground. And when you get down into it and start investigating these, look at how they're woven, and not just slapped together by pushing debris into one spot. Look down and look at how unique and how smart they are, intelligent that they are, by creating these so that they last. And then in some of the structures that we find to get out of the weather, you know, it's a possibility that, you know, maybe somebody hunting in the woods, somebody hike backpacking cross country in the woods could have built this. So it's hard to distinguish the structures because of that type of human traffic, because we do that as well in an emergency situation. If we lose a tent or we lose a tarp or whatever that we've taken out there with us to create these little structures for survival mode. And so
I've noticed
in identifying those.
Right. And Mel, that's exactly right. Because in most people that they go hiking, they say, oh, they're not real. They're not out there. I've been out in the woods all my life. I think they've passed by these things along the way and just thought they were people. And I think most people do. They just think, oh, some person put that together. I think that happens a lot until people are educated more. And no, we think that's Bigfoot behavior. But I can see why. I can see why. When you see these things, you're like, wow, that looks like somebody came by and built this incredible neat teepee or this other shape or this or that. And it does look like people do it. But who's out there doing that kind of stuff? And you never see it happening, by the way. But I can totally understand why people do think, oh, that's just a person, where we're looking at it a whole different way.
Right, right, right. And, you know, I got the best advice on this from a long time ago, you know, when John Green, we had gone up and visited him one time, and, you know, he gave me the best advice ever when I started asking him questions. And then, you know, his quote to me, his words were to me, is, unless you see them do it, don't assume.
Right.
And I've taken that, you know, to my head, to when I come out and do investigations for myself, for other people, to make sure that, it's a borderline. You're walking that line until you figure out that, oh yeah, Bigfoot sucks.
I don't think anybody's seen it either. Right, Mel? No one's, I don't know of anybody that's actually seen anything being built before. Do you? Or have you?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, how do I know those beds were built by them? Or how do I know the nest is built by them? In my event that I'll share with everybody, I found out the truth. And the truth is the path that I had taken straightened me up on what my elders told me about them. And, as a kid, you take it, and, any advice that you take from an adult when you're young, when you're a teen, it goes in one ear and out the other. And then later, when they're gone, you're like, oh, well, you know, I remember them telling me this. And it's not until we see it for ourselves, it's like, hey, you know, they tried to teach me this a long time ago.
And that's the story that we're going to hear next hour, that's going to take us into our next thoughts of 2022 and what the shows are all about tonight. That's Mel Skahan that you're listening to, and he's going to tell us a deeply emotional true encounter of how a Sasquatch and he gained mutual respect, and that's providing inspiration into the new year for us. And hopefully that'll do that for you. Connie Willis with you. It's 2022. Happy New Year from Coast to Coast AM.